There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
Hey, I'm Eric.
And I'm Tyler.
And I'm Casey.
And you're listening to
The Elvis Podcast.
Count them. One, two, three members of the Element are sitting here
living it.
The elephant.
Living your elephant. The elephant in the room is that there are three members living in it in Texas.
That's right man. Now.
Finally.
Our good buddy, Eric Gentry.
Goody.
Has made the move.
I'm here. I'm a Texan.
Yep, he got Sonic last man. Night. That's how you know.
Yep. Dude, he didn't even flinch when he said that. I'm a Texan.
That's right. Can you do the horns down? That's what all good Texans do.
I do root for him. So.
Is that See, that's not offensive to Aggies at all. So that's fine. No.
What is offensive to Aggies?
Just the color orange.
Just talk. That's it. Yeah. Just talk bad about Johnny Manziel, and
they get really upset.
I will talk bad about Johnny Manziel all the time, but I will never criticize him as a player. He was amazing. Which Tyler's dad loves to say how Johnny Manziel was just an average player. So
does he?
Yeah.
Huh.
Isn't that funny?
Him say that.
Yeah. He might have been just trying to get at me and Drew.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. If he said it when Drew was around.
Yeah. So. All good old red-blooded Republicans love to just, you know, do that.
My dad. My dad just likes football and football players. He doesn't have any real allegiances too much. So
what'd you say?
He doesn't have really any allegiances.
Real allegiances. Gotcha. Yep. We are definitely in East Texas mode, slurring our words together, talking fast. How we do, y'all.
It's 2 p.m.
It's how
man.
We do.
This is my low point.
That's it. It's kind of warm in here. You know, we're getting like,
It is. It's like warming up now.
It is.
I think it's because it's getting cold and the heater's coming on or something. Ooh, I don't know what it is.
Not good. We do not need heat. Eric got to experience his first Texas tornado last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Texas Tornado.
Welcome to the next 4 months of your life. You're going to have 100 degree days mixed in with 100 mile per hour winds every 10 days. So that is where we live. But we're glad you're here, dude.
I'm glad I'm here too, man.
We have been getting so much done since you've got here. It's been so productive.
It has, man.
It's the best. But Eric actually joined us in Tennessee for a little action here while back as well, but then he had to go home and do Easter's or something like that with his family, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
Pack up and get down here.
Did you get some Easter noodles?
No Easter noodles. No. That's just for Thanksgiving.
So, which they are really?
They're called egg noodles.
We haven't talked about this on the podcast.
Does the podcast world not know about this?
They do. We've talked about it. Okay. Yeah. Because I think we've asked the audience if they know what Thanksgiving
noodles is. When you've done like 330 podcasts versus like three.
Hey, you're the guy that can remember the things. Episode numbers. Like I used
to, but it's because I used to upload them. Now I don't upload them anymore. I can't even talk, much less. Much less remember.
Yeah, so y'all reserve the Thanksgiving noodles for only Thanksgiving Day. Like there's not Christmas noodles that are the same thing.
No, we still eat like the noodles as a meal itself sometimes.
They're called Thanksgiving noodles when they're not for Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Right? When they're on Thanksgiving, they're just noodles because it's a given.
It's inverted.
It's a given thing. Like,
yeah,
you don't go, you know, this is my Thanksgiving dressing. You just say, we're getting dressing. You know what I mean? At Thanksgiving.
Interesting.
This guy gets it.
Yeah.
Tyler's.
So you have to denote outside of Thanksgiving that these are Thanksgiving noodles and not some other kind of noodle.
So if y'all had noodles on Easter, you wouldn't call them Easter noodles. You just call them noodles.
Probably.
Did you have noodles?
No.
Mm.
No.
I'm disappointed.
Do they have Easter noodles?
I don't know.
Because then they would just call them Thanksgiving noodles.
You make Easter. The Thanksgiving noodles with egg noodles.
Egg ones.
Yeah.
As opposed to flour ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand the words. I made homemade biscuits last night, and they were real good.
High biscuits, you said?
Yeah. Well, I almost got to use some high biscuits jelly, but I'm out until next year.
I'm ready to go up to Iowa and get some of the red buds to make jelly out of.
Are you?
Because they are green buds around here right now.
There's some of them that are still in full bloom.
I know. I think it's on the ones on north sides of buildings.
I kind
of
wonder that, too.
That's what I've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you actually made your own jelly before?
Not out of red bud.
Yeah.
But out of other things.
Hmm.
Strawberries.
Make a lot
they
of
have a pretty good strawberry farm here in town.
Yep. I've never been there, but I think we will this year probably.
I spent $70 there last year.
How many pounds of strawberries
just do
you get
that
for
you don't 70? Need more than you think you do. Like, you just get what you need for a couple days, maybe.
Yeah, they don't last for long.
No.
How many pounds did you get for that amount?
I don't know. I feel like 40. I don't know what it was.
40 pounds of strawberries?
I don't think it was, but it was a lot.
Well, in Biden's America, it's going to be a little less. Yeah. But
what about in Trump's America? How would that be?
I don't. You would get
because he's winning 2024, right?
I doubt it.
Election predictions.
That's right. Election predictions.
Yeah. We're gonna go on the record saying this.
I'm gonna say DeSantis and a unknown Western Republican senator as a candidate.
That is about as good a guess as I can do. Probably.
Yeah. Probably a Utah guy.
I was thinking Mitch McConnell.
I can't. Please not.
Isn't
Mitch McConnell.
Isn't it turkey season?
I thought he's a turtle man, not a turkey man.
He's turkey man for sure.
Eric, any other
guesses?
Yeah, he's going to say Barack's coming back.
I was going to say probably Putin. I don't know.
Putin
imputing. He's imputing that into this podcast right now. Actually, Eric was really. I think didn't you vote for the Chicago mayor last year? Last time around?
No.
That's your favorite?
I thought they went in mind of votes from outside
That's
communities.
Where you got the turtle thing, right?
No, she's the penguin or something like that.
Yeah, that's the mayor of Chicago.
They have a thing that she's like the turtle.
Yeah.
What is it?
I forget what it is.
I don't know.
Scary. That's what it is.
Yeah. She is scary, man.
So,
there's a lot of people that scare me in this world, though.
I know it, man. We've got a lot of stories to tell from Iowa or wherever we went the other day. Where we go, Tennessee. Before we do that, I did tell a friend that I would let y'all know some stuff. So there is a brand of books out there for children.
What's his friend's last name?
G-Barn. G-Bron.
You talking about G-Bron James?
Yeah. G-Bron Howard.
G-Bron Howard.
James, I don't know. Smile outside with James and his brother. I can't say that last name. It's one of those deals. Y'all ever do this thing where, like, you read something wrong and then, like, for forever, once you find out the right way of doing stuff, you can't do it?
Yeah.
I always thought it was German, but it's not. It's G-Bron.
Jabron James.
Jabron. I don't know.
Jabron James.
But anyways, Smile Outside makes children's books. I've got some of them. They're really cool.
I think it's Jubrin.
Y'all go check it out. He's got some elk ones.
You've got one, right?
I got five of them.
Golly.
Yeah. They're cool.
50.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's 50.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just kind of like the Sandhill and Blue Repairing
thing
that I
do. You're just trying to confuse Eric.
trying to make sure you correct me.
Hey, let's talk in code. Speak Spanish. Does the world know about the Colores?
I don't know. I feel like you might have told this. I think you this recently.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Eric thought that Trace Colores was just a name. He didn't realize it actually held meaning, and it was pretty funny.
That's not true.
Here we go.
I knew what it meant, but I thought the colors of the was the colors of the meat, not the colors, of the plate. The meat.
Yeah, I'd hate for it to make sense or something.
I can't do it. I'm out of this. I'm off the podcast. I'm off.
Oh man, we're gonna laugh a lot this year, and it's gonna be real good.
Yep. That's how we're gonna burn calories.
Actually burning calories just sitting here right now. I'm sweating.
You want to turn the AC on?
I'm not.
I might have to pee pretty soon.
For real. Okay, we got to just stop being guys laughing on the podcast. We got to get somewhere.
Yeah, because that's what people tune out to.
We've got a couple things coming up that we need to tell y'all about real quick. There will be a video from our turkey hunting trip, where we got to turkey hunt with Chad from Cruiser Saddles a lot, and then hunted with Mitchell Johnston with a T from Dead End Game Calls one day. And by the way, he is like a 3-time national champion turkey caller. So
I also hear he's pretty good at Cherokee squat.
He is. He is a Cherokee squatter.
We're going to teach y'all that on a video, actually. That's right. How-to Cherokee squat.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a how-to video with that. It probably will be in conjunction with some of our bow videos and stuff.
Something that KC made up.
So we will do that soon. Watch for the Cherokee squat video. Watch for the turkey hunt video. And then also,
likely on Sunday or Monday of the week of April 13th, somewhere in there. So it'll be like April 17th or something, maybe.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
To a screen near you.
Yep. Watch it in 4K.
We also did a cool video with Chad about tree ascension and descension whenever we were up there, like the best ways to get in and out of the tree when you're saddle hunting. So we won't tell y'all too much about that yet. We'll kind of lead into that a little bit more. That might take a little longer to produce or post-produce, which gets me confused. But that'll come out soon.
Too many contracts.
That's right. yeah, so that's some of the stuff that will be heading your way. We're also going to be at TAC SA in a few weeks. If you see us, come say howdy. We probably won't be there very long because I get tired and I want to go do something real. We got a pretty cool place lined up to go do a little hunting while we're on that same trip. So shooting foam or shooting live animals. Probably going to choose a live animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love bow fishing for Guadalupe bass.
I know, dude. Texas state shafts. Anyways, looking forward to that. Tyler?
You ever known anybody that shot a bass with an arrow?
A few.
I've known a few, too. And I actually can promise you that I have not done that, but I've known some people to do it.
I haven't done it either. I have not. Let me say this. I have not shot a largemouth bass in the arrow.
Gotcha.
I hit a hybrid on accident one time. But that's been long time ago.
Probably live, though.
Probably. They're going to die anyways. You know,
they don't reproduce, so what's the point of having them?
I think that's false, too. But
do you?
Yeah.
I've seen them spit out some eggs before.
I know.
But they say they don't reproduce.
Then why do you have, have you ever been checked by a game warden whenever you've got 75 fish in the cooler? So growing up, I did a whole bunch of summertime sand bass and hybrid fishing. and we'd go load them up and fill the freezer with fish doing that. And, like, I never got any tickets because as a kid, my dad never did any either. But I knew some people that did. And during that, a law enforcement official would pull fish out of the cooler and say, sand bass, measure it. Hybrid, measure it. I'm not sure. And then just not worry about that one. Couple things in there.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not be sure if they don't reproduce? Right? Because there's a certain way to identify with tooth patches and with broken bars down the side. And the other thing is, like, oh, come on, dude. you know, like, what are we doing here? So I think that, I don't know what I think, but there are some that don't look like they are 50-50, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I do know what you're saying.
But
I've caught some big old fatties that were for sure hybrids that were just putting eggs out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what that means exactly. I guess they're just sterile.
They have functional, whatever you call it.
Reproductive organs.
I don't know. It is what it is. We also had a friend from our local archery shop, one of our good buddies, post about how he was bow fishing, helping control invasive species.
Did he ever respond to you?
He did.
He did. I thought he was just going to let it ride.
No.
He figured he'd be embarrassed.
He was posting about a fish that cannot reproduce. So I thought that was funny. He took it like a champ. That's why he's cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did y'all, when y'all froze sand bass and hybrid fillets, were they still good, you feel like? Or did they kind of get mushy?
Man, when I was a kid, I didn't care that much.
That's kind of how I am, too. I just don't know.
Anymore, I want to eat them fresh, just because fresh in general is better. But
I just don't catch fish like that anymore because, A, I don't have a boat, and B, well, I didn't have a boat, and B, I fly fish, which means you don't catch fish, so.
Yeah. But back then, we'd fill, cover them in water in a Ziploc and freeze them and then have a fish fry a couple months later, and they were good.
So last striper I caught on a fly rod, I did it whole on the grill. It was good.
Mine wasn't that good.
Mine was so tasty.
What was up with that?
But dadgum, they stick to the grill so bad.
They do that for sure.
Got to use foil.
Yeah. I do love that, like, fish fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that feeling on your fingers.
Collagen type of deal.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. Eric caught a couple fat fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
What kind of fish did you catch, Eric?
Caught two smallmouth. First ones I've ever caught.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Don't have those in Illinois, huh?
We have them. I've never caught them.
Mm-hmm. Just cat fishermen.
Yeah, they're mostly in rivers up there, and I really don't fish rivers up there.
You don't have a river that runs right through the middle of your town or anything, so.
Dadgummit.
What?
Eric, I'm sorry. He's just going to make fun of you on our podcast
I'm not making fun of
him. Thousands of people. Eric, just...
It doesn't run through the middle of town, Tyler.
It runs to the side of town.
It runs to the side of town.
Well, that one, I don't think there's any smallmouth in that either.
There's not.
Uh-uh.
I've
seen gar come out of that river before.
It's a little mucky.
It's pretty muddy.
What did Hunter call him earlier? Needle nose gnar? Needle gnars is what he called them.
Needle gnars. Oh, man, that is funny. Okay, so turkey hunting.
Yeah.
We did a little bit of that. We're not expert turkey hunters. The last turkey hunting I did before this trip was with Eric Gentry.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How about that? And we had a lot of encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever air that footage?
We don't have any turkey footage, really. We got like a peeping Tom, and that's about it.
Really? Man, I have so much mental footage from that trip. It's crazy. I saw so many turkeys.
We'll have to go back next year.
Yep. Yeah. I would love to. So this year, we decided we're going to do a little turkey hunting. We're going to do more turkey hunting pretty soon, actually. It was a good opportunity for us to go and hang out with Chad. And we had met the Dead End Boys out at ATA this year. And decided we all kind of had, pretty similar values and thought it would be cool to get to hang out and stuff. So it started out being Mark, Mitchell, and Patrick were all going to come to Tennessee. And then them other boys started dropping like flies, which That's how it goes, man. I understand. I'm just giving you all a hard time. But
gotta make money, I guess.
That's right. That's right.
When you make it, you're just going to spend it. So then you got to keep making it.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I think they're getting ready for their Nebraska trips, but I think.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. But
I don't blame them, dadgummit.
Me neither. I want to go do that.
I was tired when we got back running them hills.
Man, I liked it. I liked it a lot. So Tennessee, where we turkey hunted, east of Nashville, and it's the hills, or the hollers, as they say over there, I imagine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know too much about the geology of the region, but Chad was talking about the Cumberland Plateau, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I know he knows what he's talking about. And that's what we learned on this trip, was that when a Tennessean or a turkey hunter tells you they hear a gobble or whatever it might be, you just trust that they did, okay? Because it works out. But
Chad's got a good ear, man.
He does, man.
For a guy who hasn't been hunting that long, he's a dadgum good hunter.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, in my eyes, for a guy who hadn't been hunting much. Mm-hmm.
My ears, too.
Yeah.
But so the first day, we get up there, and we're going to go hunt the hills. Didn't we go to the hills first? What did we end up doing first? I don't remember.
Dude,
remember,
I can't. Eric? I barely remember anything about this hunt except for that you killed.
You ain't got no kids, so your head should be clear.
I feel like the first night we didn't do anything, right? And then the next morning we went out.
Is yeah, right? First night we didn't do anything. First night you got there. Tyler's already asleep.
Yeah, Tyler's already asleep when I got there.
Dude, we were watching Ridiculousness.
I didn't hear you come in, but I was like, I was at the point, and I was like, I'm just going to chill, man.
If y'all don't show up to your motel room and just watch Ridiculousness, I don't know what you're doing, but that's what we usually do.
Yeah.
Or Outdoor Channel, if it's there.
It's usually not anymore, yeah. Which is a complaint of mine I'm going to submit.
Yeah. Submit that to the Patel organization?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're watching some Ridiculousness, and Tyler is laughing at something, and then like 30 seconds later Eric walks in and Tyler is asleep, and I believe he was asleep too. It wasn't like I'm gonna just not say anything.
No, I'd been sitting still for a minute.
Yeah.
About a minute.
That's right. And
I go to sleep fast.
Eric got on his air mattress over there and squeaked all night, and then
I didn't hear nothing.
I didn't sleep very good that first night, but after that I got sleeping good because we got to run around the hills pretty good. Oh, we went to Chad's lease the first thing that first morning and almost killed birds. I actually shot.
Yeah.
Yep. Because Tyler told me to.
So I've actually reviewed this footage.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you what all was said.
Okay.
I can tell you how it went down because I just reviewed it this morning. So we ended up striking up some birds, and it was one of them deals where I heard the first gobble of the morning of the trip. So nobody believes you if you're the only one who hears it, you know. So everybody's kind of, I'm like 100% gobble. So I think something along the lines of like we hit it again, and then we all heard it. And so we're like, oh, and we went scrambling, you know. We head down this steep hill, and KC sees the birds out in the pasture, and they're coming to us. And so
fast.
Fast. So we kind of are trying to like make our way to where like we're not going to let them stall out on a ravine or something that's too steep and whatever else. We get on this little like logging road basically, and I mean, dude, we'd barely gotten set, and everybody stopped moving by the time I saw the first bird, which I guess the bird that I saw was the second bird.
Mm-hmm.
You had already seen a bird.
Yeah.
But KC, right as we sat down, said, hey, let me know when you can see a bird or whatever. It's like, okay. So
because I probably have a better position on the turkeys, and we're trying to double up.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know as soon as Tyler could see a turkey to shoot so we could do our countdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess I saw a bird after KC had already seen it, but I didn't know that he had seen a bird. And so when the bird that I saw comes out into the forest lane or whatever, the logging road.
Forest clowns?
So forest clown was in the forest lane. Forest lane is a place near SMU where I used to live. So when it comes out, I tell KC, I said, there he is, KC. Well, KC's across the lane from me, or the logging road. And
started putting at this point.
They started putting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if somebody moved. I'm maybe a step in front of you, so I can't really see you.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely can't see Chad or Eric because mm-hmm. they're behind me. And so all I say, there he is, KC. And I hear something. I couldn't tell if it was you or Chad, but I can tell now watching the video that you said, "You shoot him?" Like, question mark, shoot him. And I thought Chad said shoot him, potentially. I didn't know what was going on, so I didn't say anything. I didn't shake my head, nothing. I just I'm just sitting there looking down at these birds. Well, they happen to be like 80 yards away. And so, like, there's potential. Like, it's not, like, complete idiotic to think that you could kill a bird at this range.
I've killed turkeys at further range than this, with a better choke, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you kind of did this shoot them question mark, and nobody said anything, and all of a sudden, you hear Casey's safety go off. And, like, from that point afterwards, I realized me and Chad both knew, like, okay, it's happening. And he shoots, and all I can see, I can barely see the bird at this point. When he shoots, the bird, like, takes off, like flying, I guess.
Got the bird flu.
Yeah, I had the bird flu. And I thought it was flapping, like flopping, like you smoked it. So yeah. I was like, yeah, stand up real quick, and it's not there. And I'm like, dadgummit. So I see you flying down the lane, and I go up the hill to see if they'll cut back, you know, across the hill, which they didn't. Anyway, yeah, bad deal.
Got confused.
Yeah. It was just one of them deals where, like, we got surprised and had to set up real quick.
We did. I think what happened, I mean, outside of me shooting when I shouldn't have, and I've told y'all, I was not trying to be greedy, I promise.
No, and you felt bad about it.
I did.
I didn't want you to feel bad about it because it was the first morning.
I thought it was just going to be like, okay, here's our shot. That was, you know, it's a miracle these turkeys came up here. I better try to shoot.
Yeah.
You know, but I think what happened is those birds got to us a lot faster than we expected. And Chad kind of knows what he's doing with turkeys a little bit. Like, he was moving the leaves around and stuff to sound like hens pecking around. And I never thought about that. But I think that the turkey saw him doing that.
I felt like somebody was moving right before that turkey that I saw showed up. So if there was a bird before that, like,
yeah. He actually came around. You know how the turkey I shot at came up?
Yeah.
The other turkey came around the bend on the road. So, and looked weird back at us.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't in a good position either, so I might have stuck out a little bit there too. In hindsight,
I was looking at you. You didn't look bad from the GoPro angle.
No, probably not. But I was still straight down the pipe.
Yeah.
Like, in hindsight, there's this thing. Like, there's this thing you see on outdoor TV and turkey hunting where, like, people set up the decoys and then the turkeys come right at them and the people shoot them. Like, and it's all kind of a straight line.
Mm.
If you got a good caller, it seems like to me being a little offset is pretty beneficial because those turkeys are coming in where that sound is and they can see really good, but their periphery is still not as good as, you know, what they're concentrated on.
Right.
So, like, I mean, it's just like us. Like, right now, I can't see Eric's facial expression. I can see that he's over there, yep. You know, but he's probably just grimacing real mad at me.
Yeah,
but
he is.
I can't tell. Yep. But,
that Tagum River going through the middle of town.
I know, dude.
Dagummit.
That was, was my faux pas there, for sure, on the shooting. And for what it's worth, them turkeys seemed real close. But they weren't. I know they weren't.
Yeah.
But, like, when you hadn't seen one in a while.
Yeah, you're like, whoa.
Whoa, look at that thing.
That thing's closer than I've seen.
That's right.
Especially when all them turkeys in Illinois last year were just hanging out right over the top of the ridge. It's like that goes.
Just doing everything 100 yards away.
Yeah.
So, from there,
basically, chasing birds around, we located a lot of birds the rest of that day, I guess, and then Mitchell showed up that night.
We had rain come in, we didn't get to fish, and then we went fishing, but we had located a bird that day that you were going to shoot, because I kind of like handed you the gun metaphorically at that. It's like, all right, Tyler, you mess one up before I get a chance to shoot, which you did. It wasn't just you, it was all of us. but yeah, I'm glad you saw that bird, actually. We did this thing where we went up in that ridge country and got a gobble that was just going nuts about 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know much about it, but Chad says that if you get an afternoon gobbler, like, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So we, like, went around, followed this ridge line all the way around, kind of hooked around to this bird, and I think I might have been calling a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's the if I was retrospectively looking at the mistake we made, it was that. Because we were going uphill, like, every time we stopped to get a breather, we would call, and we probably should have just gained what we thought we should have gained and then made a call.
Yeah,
because we ended up basically just – he didn't move for a while, and then all of a sudden the next time we heard or saw anything from him, he was 45 yards just peeping Tom right at us.
Just looked right at Tyler.
Yeah. And I was like, we were walking down this lane or whatever, and we were literally like cutting into the woods. And as like Chad goes in, I look ahead of us and I'm like, there's a head. That guy. Right there. Big old gob head.
Yeah.
So we spooked that bird. Then it started kind of raining. We went fishing. That's where Eric caught his.
That's right. What'd you catch those on?
Bandino bug.
All right.
Dang, that's like a Texan bait.
Is it?
Bandito. Bandito.
Bandera bug?
Bandera bug. Bandito is actually just the motorcycle gang, right?
There, when I went to school at A&M, there was a little Tex-Mex like hole in the wall, but they had really good lunch specials that were cheap. There was a Bandito burrito. It's pretty good.
I bet it was.
Red sauce burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time Eric said that, that's like what pops my mind.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry right now because I ate two eggs and a piece of toast for lunch.
I had a mango and an apple.
Sounds worse.
I just had oatmeal.
That's carry on?
Yeah. Oatmeal?
Oatmeal.
Did y'all ever watch Frosty the Snowman when you were a kid, like the original cartoon?
Yeah.
You remember that was what the little kid wanted to name was oatmeal?
No.
So every time somebody says oatmeal, that's what pops in my head. This little, the littlest kid, they're like trying to name Frosty, and he said, oatmeal.
Eric, tell everybody your favorite quote from that movie.
Frosty Snowman?
Yeah. Isn't it Frosty the Snowman?
Frosty the Snowman.
What? No, it's a cartoon. Frosty the Snowman's a cartoon?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what's the one with the claymation?
Rudolph?
Is it Rudolph? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Rudolph?
What's my what?
Well, I can't remember what that one's called, but it's the one with like.
Yeah. It is Rudolph. Okay. Look,
you talking about?
Yeah.
What is so that when, bearded guy? That's who you're about to quote, isn't it?
No. There. So at the beginning of Rudolph, the I guess you call them little bucks. I don't know. They're all getting ready to go out.
The reindeer.
Yeah, but they're
the red. But the red nosed reindeer.
What do you call the male version of them?
Bucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bucks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So they're probably bulls.
Are they bulls?
Yeah. They're bulls, but they look like bucks.
But they're bull Americano, right? Like, it's if it was in, like, reindeer, technically, like, Euro, right? So
reindeer are found in Newfoundland, which is North America.
So they probably don't call them bulls, huh?
I don't know what they call them.
Stigs?
Yeah.
Stagriculture?
I don't really know.
Anyway, they're getting ready to go outside for recess or whatever because they're, you know, they're in school, and all the like little bucks see the girl deer and they're all like, look, doors.
That's funny.
And just the way he says it is doors.
Let's see. I'm on the Wikipedia page, which is funny. I thought there'd be an IMBD, but it doesn't seem that there is.
I bet it's stag, dude. I got a feeling it's
here staying. We go. Here's an IMDb. 1964, the year my dad was born. That's when that came out. 8.1 out of 10 stars. That's a pretty good movie, man.
That is, man.
Okay. Do you have characters on here, IMDb?
It's like a 4.2 restaurant, man.
Top cast. They're showing the real people. I want to see the actual Clay. I don't want to see the real people. Charlie in the Box, cast and crew. Here we go.
We got some fact checking going on over here.
There's 11 cast members. I guess I can't figure out who the characters are. There's a bearded guy on there. It's pretty funny. It's not
Santa. Yeah, he's a snowman, but he's bearded.
Santa.
Oh, no. I know you're talking. Red beard guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Santa.
No, not that one.
This is Santa.
That's the abominable snowman.
Abominable.
How do you say that?
This guy right
here.
Yeah,
he turns into a guy
with
the
pickaxe. That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yes, I love that guy, dude.
It doesn't say his character. But he's the guy who's like getting people to the land of misfit toys or whatever.
Dang, this is a good movie. I'm ready to watch it. Going to Christmas in July.
That's cool.
Come okay. On,
how did we get there again?
We were talking about what were we talking about? Somebody said what was it? Wasn't Rudolph, but it was the other movie. So
we're talking about
Frosty
and
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
That's it. Yeah.
But so. Bandito Bug. That's how we ended up.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so I tried to fly fish in that stream and it wasn't doing very good. It's a pretty big river. I think it's actually a creek, but there.
It wasn't.
Huh?
It wasn't doing very good.
The fly fishing was not doing good. I was not doing good. So I feel like if I had been able to wade, I'd been doing a little bit better, but yeah. I only had on. I didn't want to get in the water. So And we were in and out of rainstorms. It was a quick fish, for sure.
Pretty crazy how much it rained and still how clear the water was, wasn't it?
It was weird.
Springs, yeah. Man. Bulls.
Yeah. Giving it away over here. That's a cool spot. I'd like to go fish there again one day. I don't know if I ever will. That's a weird thing, man. A lot of stuff we do, it's like,
might not
you never
ever
be
again.
Here again.
I know. That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
That's why some of the stuff we do, I get like kind of weird about sometimes. I'm like, this is a special moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are like, oh, it ain't nothing. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, it kind of. And also at the same time, like, I don't know how to like convey that. That's something that like, I struggle with. Like, yeah. How do I convey that this is special to me? Because I feel like most people may not care about this, right? Like,
yeah.
They got things like that in their hometown mm-hmm. or whatever. I don't know. It's kinda,
yeah, I shoot those out of my box blind every fall with my whole family.
Oh, yeah. We got a spring down there. You can drink straight out of it. Yeah. You know? And I'm like, well, I don't.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. But yeah.
I like that. I was thinking about that earlier with South Dakota. Like, where we went 2 years ago, I don't know if I'll ever go back there and hunt or not.
I know. I want to bad.
Yeah, I know. I want to bad, too. Just to see.
Yeah.
And the daggum sharptails are everywhere.
Dude,
there.
The best sleep I've ever had was on that trip.
Just That's about. Weird.
It was like, I can remember how well I was sleeping, how like well rested I was every day when I woke up.
The best FM radio station in the country is right there, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's socialism for you.
That's it. So that was our first day in Tennessee. And then Mitchell Johnson shows up and wants to talk late at night whenever we want to go to sleep. And then Mr. Patel wants to talk as well.
Yeah,
and we ended up talking for so long in the parking lot.
And then Eric tried to kick his bumper in.
Yeah.
Tired of this guy.
Said, where's the nearest Hyundai?
What's hilarious is... the reason I remembered that is because I was editing this morning, and he like donks Chad's truck the next morning on video, and Mitchell died laughing. He did that to the hotel owner's minivan last night. It's
I think hilarious. I hit Chad's truck with a tripod or something like that.
It's loud. Yeah.
Yep. Better write that one off, Chad, for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry,
appreciation.
Chad.
But it actually wasn't that bad. It was good to see Mitchell. He's a cool dude, man.
He is, man. Good dude.
Yeah,
for sure. We had a talk, man, on the way. I got to ride with Mitchell while y'all were hanging out with Chad. And it's funny because when we finally – we, like, pulled up and me and him are still just heart-to-heart, man, on some stuff. And
you're looking deep in your eyes?
Yeah.
Mitchell pays attention to what you're saying.
He does. He does. A good listener.
Yeah.
So anyway, like whenever we got done and we opened the door up, KC goes, I knew when that head was bobbing, something important was being said in there. Cause we were getting after
That's
it.
Right,
we were just philosophical.
And
that
then
morning.
We got to hunt with Mitchell Johnson. I didn't realize how good a national champion caller is,
dude,
until that day.
You want to talk about make me feel like an old TV host, but it really is something to experience.
Yeah, it's like, cool.
I've always been like, oh, this is such a hoopla. You know, these guys just tooting each other's horns about it and stuff. And like, oh, you're such a good call. You just can't, you know, it's all about watching the dogs work and all this and that. Like those kind of guys. You know
that
what I mean?
Drives me crazy for sure.
But it really was impressive, unique, and like one of those things like we may not get. I don't know. I mean, I would like to say I would be able to hunt with Mitchell every spring, but who knows, man? They might have bigger and better and more important things to do sometime, mm-hmm. you know? And so I may not. Like, it may be one of those things that I'd get to experience one or two times. And so, like, I think that I really enjoyed listening and learning from him. And it was really nice to, instead of you and me look at each other like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And, like, saying, we could do this or we could do that. It was like Mitchell would be like, he would hit a bird, and he'd be like, all right, that one's coming, boys. He's close. Why don't you sit down there? You sit down there. We'll put the decoys down here. You get the camera right here. Where we going? He's like, golly, dude.
That's the the unnoticed detail about hunting with a guy like that is that it's not that Mitchell has practiced his whole life to be a really good stage caller.
Mm-hmm.
He is. But the dude is around 40 dead turkeys a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has been in hunting situations. The day before, we were in a hunting situation and didn't know what to do. Whenever we were with Mitchell and that bird was close, he knew exactly what all we should do. And outside of like getting caught some way or another, like we were almost going to kill four turkeys right yeah. there. It so was wild.
We had a bird come in once we finally got back to where we, you know, it was, I guess, Chad's favorite spot. But
Chad had kind of pre-scouted this and also knew from deer season, like, what area of this property there would be turkeys.
Did he have a gun when he pre-scouted?
He probably did. We didn't mention that. On the way up, Chad calls us and he's like, it's like this, man. I'm going to go out there and do some scouting. I'm going to see where them birds are. That way we can get out there in the morning and go kill some, man. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. 10 minutes later. Freaking picture of a dead turkey. Chad scouted with a shotgun and killed a gobbler. Where we're supposed to be going the next day.
Dadgummit.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But I don't know if he scouted with a gun up in there or not. I think he was scouting with a bow, actually.
Chad has a cool gun.
He does.
It's a you guys may have seen it. It's a 410 Mossberg in like bottomlands mm-hmm. and
pump.
And it's got a sweet choke on the end. I don't know what it was, but he's shooting TSS out of it mm-hmm. and he's got a Tasco scope that's like a red dot scope, except for it's got like a green reticle and dot in the middle of the in the reticle. It's real cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, What's the thing where you can, like, the dot's going to be
parallax.
Where, I don't know about the parallax, if that's, like, a thing that it has or not.
I mean, it looked like it did.
Yeah.
I think the parallax is more or less accurate depending on how much you spend on the skull. Oh, okay. But, I mean, yeah. with a shotgun, yeah. accuracy is kind of relative.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, but it was cool. And apparently it worked really well on that one turkey. But
apparently so.
Anyway, the next day, dead. So we got in there with Mitchell. We hit birds. He did the whole sit down here, do that, shut up,
put blah, out blah. A hen. And then a mounted hen, like meaning yeah. Jake is on her back.
Yeah.
Mounted.
Yeah. And pretty cool, good looking decoys. Well, this bird starts coming, and all of a sudden, same deal. Like, we barely even, people have finally gotten still, and it's
Mitchell
like a minute
still
later.
45 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. Wild.
And all of a sudden, me and Casey are sitting a lot closer this time, we learned. I'm like, you know, or Casey maybe saw him first or whatever. He's like, there he is right there. And I look down, he's right in the middle of the lane coming. We're on a lane again. And he's just kind of high head. He hits a gobble, and I'm like, oh, dead bird. I think he even might have strutted right
there.
He did.
He threw up a strut real quick, and they got white-headed
and
right
then got weird and went kind of downhill. And long story short, spent like a while, like 20 minutes probably, like just gobbling it, you know, anywhere from probably like 60 to 110 yards or something like that. I couldn't really see him because he's downhill, but he just kind of hung out down there. Mitchell worked him real hard. Well, all of a sudden, we start hearing this faint noise, and Casey's like, I think I hear birds. And I was listening, and when he would call, I was like, yep, I hear them. And so there were gobbles coming from down the next ridge or whatever. And
came from way away. Yeah, I mean, these birds, the first time I heard the gobble, it's hard to tell, but they sound like a half mile away. They were way out there.
Yeah, and so the first bird kind of shuts up, and these birds, long story short as well, come in, and they're getting pretty loud, and I'm like, they're going to come right down the road. They're going to come right down the road. I'm telling Eric, you know, be ready. And they get, like, behind where they should be popping up over the road any second here, and then all of a sudden they hit another gobble, and they're, like, left of the road where they were coming from the right. And I'm like, what is going on? They end up working downhill and basically make a circle around all five of us for the next 20 minutes or more. Mm. And, like, just do this big, huge circle and come all the way back around. And they're like, so they started out before they like crested the hill where they should have been down the road, say it's 12 o'clock. And at this point, they've circled around to where they're at 3 o'clock. And I can see them. And I'm telling KC kind of and Eric what's going on. I'm like, there's at least two. I can't tell how many there are. Ends up, KC said he saw four. And they're starting to work back towards our decoys, right? And we had We had, like, it was just tough because they didn't do what they were supposed to do or what they normally would do is, like, just come into the decoys. Instead, mm-hmm. they went in a big circle, and we figured out why later on. And basically, they get to probably, like, 130 or something like that, and they're coming through some kind of empty, open stuff, and they start putting, arm putting. And so Mitchell's back there like, shoot him if you can. if you got a shot, shoot them. And they're pretty far. They're not quite probably as far as
they're
the bird 45 you shot at.
Or so.
Like, they're probably like 45 yards. So as they're like leaving, so they were like 35 before they started putting. They start working out, and so they're kind of going through a spot where like I could shoot them fairly easy in the clear stuff, but I don't want to like shoot across KC. So I tell him, well, he's still kind of gun shy because he feels like he messed it up. And earlier in the morning, right?
And so, like, the day before.
Or the day before, that's right. Yeah, so he, you know, is kind of reluctant to shoot, and they kind of get through all the thinner stuff and they're still kind of working out, and Mitchell's, like, kind of putting the pressure on. He's kind of, like, getting louder, like, hey, shoot him if y'all can, you know, if you got a shot, you know. And I see one, the first one cut across this gap that's, like, 14 inches wide, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to shoot the next one when he comes through right there. I put it on it, and by the time I had pulled the trigger, like as it is going off, his head goes behind the tree through the gap. And I still had like basically from where the feathers start on his neck down, I had some of that, like a little bit of his back right there. And so when I pulled the trigger, I thought I still felt good, like I had a chance. I mean, it was already where I couldn't stop pulling the trigger, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay, Joe Turner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sorry, man. I'm not a huge on that mentality. But
I'm just messing with you. I'm
so
not
yeah.
Either.
Anyway,
especially shotgun, you don't squeeze the trigger on a shotgun, anyways.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's exactly right. So like, I'm just like boom, and as it is going off, I'm like no, you know. But like I thought it knocked him down, and so I hopped up real quick. And looked, and I didn't see him there, but it was so thick I couldn't tell for sure if he'd hit the ground, you know. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I see a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, one of them at least, going down the logging road in the fastest fashion I've ever seen in my life. And he had a hood on, and so I thought it was Chad. Turns out it was KC running like a 4.6 in full turkey gear down this road. And I'm like, okay. And I look like a peepaw trying to get up out of here, you know, just in the thick stuff. Anyway, long story short, we didn't kill any birds in that deal. And there's four gobs, apparently.
What ended up happening, like, what's the right word here? Not biologically, but, like, you know what I'm trying to say?
It'd be like... man, the words on the tip
there
of my tongue.
There is a word that for that.
Yeah.
Not anatomically, not biologically.
Socially.
But, yeah, ish. Also, Yukon Cornelius is the bearded guy's name.
So, Cornelius.
That's right. So when we see turkeys, they're Corneliuses. Got beards. Those four birds that came in were a dominant group over that single gobbler.
Yeah.
And they were running him off. Now, that doesn't mean that he wasn't bigger than individual birds, but because there's four, he can't, you know.
There's a chance they've already kind of whooped up on him.
That's right. He ain't tangling with four birds. That's why they ran him off and ended up doing a big old circle around us, because by the time they ran him off, they could hear the decoys weren't triangulated to caller. They
Mitchell
were coming
was back
to,
like 20 yards.
Yeah, they were coming to them. Chad said they got like 15 yards from him.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chad could have shot him too.
Yeah. He's being
which
a
makes
bro.
You sad. Yeah, I mean, it was nice, and I mean, I see what he was trying to do, but I was real sad after, you know, you and me both pulled the trigger and messed things up already. So
from there, we're like kind of running out of time with Mitchell because he has to go and do a film and video for Dead End. So if y'all don't know, Dead End is a pretty cool company, man. I think Mitchell started it, didn't he? I don't remember if he started it or not,
if he
or
did
how
either.
It all works.
He's the poster child, though, because he can call like a maniac.
That's right. The concept behind Dead End is you're on a dead end road without Jesus Christ, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, your ministry is right there, bold and present, right?
Yeah.
And it's also a dead end for a turkey when Mitchell Johnson's calling for you, so it works double there. But
it's a game call company.
Yeah. Though. Mitchell kind of told me kind of their business model, you know, on a very basic thing. He's like, man, you can make calls and make them real expensive, or you can make calls that are still good and not charge as much money for it, and that's just what we do. So they're kind of like a budget-minded, good game call. So pretty cool stuff. But he's got to go shoot some video for Dead End. We're like, all right, we got like an hour before Mitchell has to leave. It's a 45-minute drive up to this place. Let's just go up there and see if we hear gobble. And what we do, we go up there, bust a gobble off, and sure enough, things get wild. We walk out to this point and call. It's starting to get kind of windy, but Mitchell and Chad, Mitchell hears a bird. Nobody else hears it from what I remember. And then Chad hears it, and then they're like, all right, let's go. And
do you ever question Chad hearing a bird?
I question everybody hearing a bird. I'm telling you, dude, like, I don't know if – I mean, I thought I have pretty good ears. Usually I do on other stuff, but
– maybe your eyes just overtake your ears.
Maybe so, dude. I'm like a bloodhound where, like, only one sense works at a time, you know. But, like, they're like, yeah, I heard it. I mean, I started questioning myself, too, because, like, I got in one of those situations where the turkeys were directly behind us, but because I kind of had my hood on, I heard them in front of us, mm-hmm. you know? Like, things get weird.
Well, right? Real quick, don't you remember we were all, like, trying to figure out where the bird was because we couldn't figure it out?
That bird?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
At one point,
because like, we were like, was he there? Was he there?
Pointed three
like,
different directions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real Elmer Fudd turkey thing to happen.
Because we didn't know if he came up to the spot that we had just checked out because we let off a couple gobs.
That's what we had thought. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, we thought that bird might have came, and that still might have been the case of mm-hmm. what happens. We'd stopped further up the road, got out and made a couple calls, and nothing happened. So we walked out to this other point. Well, we drove down and got out on this other point and heard a call or gobble from – I mean, had to be within 50 yards of where we had called before we thought. So that's kind of like a weird feeling because it's disheartening and also cool at the same time. And then I was unsure that there was even a turkey at all. But I learned I had to trust people. And sure enough, Mitchell has the plan for how we're going to kill the bird, right? So we end up leaving the truck parked, but we walk down the road and then get off in the ditch and go to hunting this bird. And we're, like, trying to figure out a setup. I don't know how all this happened. Oh, it's because we're in those hollers, which means, like, really deep ravines, it's not, which is weird to me because a hollow tree is what I think of when I think of hollow.
Really?
Yeah. A holler is a weird thing to me. Even
I think
it's
of a holler
thing.
As a valley that carries sound for Appalachian people to talk to each other.
Holler
and communicate.
All right, save us. we were walking this saddle in a ridge where the road is, and the holler is real deep on both sides, so you're pretty exposed right there. So we were kind of like creeping along and just peeping up over. And we're kind of trying to figure out where this bird is. And then he goes silent, and Mitchell's like, he's coming. And like to me, I'm thinking he saw us, right? But yeah. Mitchell, you know, Mr. Sixth Sense himself knows what's going on. And somehow or another, y'all decided that you were going to film?
Yeah, because we were all kind of on this embankment. And Eric was behind me, and we were kind of like on a line so that our profile was small towards the bird, right? And so when he was like, I think he just said, I can't remember what he said. He said, y'all two, or just camera guy and KC go up there, or whatever it was. So since Eric was behind me, I just took the camera and went and dipped off right behind you and dropped my gun right there. And so, yeah, had the army crawl cameraman. Yeah.
That was that's a point that probably would be worth talking about a little bit with stalking in general. Mm-hmm. I think that people underestimate just the profile of two people walking and like how linear walking is a good thing no matter how many people you got, right? It's like old army tactic, right? You walk in a straight line, single file. That way, you don't really know how many people there are. Mm-hmm. And it's not exactly that, right? A turkey's going to run from one person. But, like, it's just less stuff to be moving and just
There's not many trees that you can hide two dudes shoulder to shoulder behind. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were doing. We went up to a big oak tree, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And we were all sitting in a line behind that oak tree. And, dude, I feel pretty confident stalking things because, like, I did that at my parents' lodge. Mm-hmm. That's what I did all day, every day on birds with a BB gun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I did it the other day on that coyote. I saw my truck and I got down and I went right in line with the tire so he couldn't see my feet or nothing, you know, and walked up and over the hood, smoked a coyote on my property or shot at him or whatever. But you know, like there are things like that if you just know a few things about keeping your profile hidden and using trees and stuff like that, man, you can really stock up on things. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, you just don't stand a chance. They're going to see you, dude.
One of the things I've learned a lot is that there's easy ways and hard ways of stalking. A lot of people want to, like, go straight to belly crawling and stuff. And I've found that, like, your elbows and stuff stick up so high, you might as well just kneel real low and make it fast if you can. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's sometimes, of course, that belly crawl is what you got to do. But if you got to go 80 yards, like, there's a good chance you get picked off because it takes you 15 minutes to get the 80 yards.
Yeah.
Instead, if you just stay really low and find, like, the perfect opportune time to make the 80 yards as fast as you can, it pays off sometimes.
Yeah.
So
I just always try to stay hidden, whatever it takes. So, I mean,
invisibility cloak.
On my buck, the ranch buck that I chased out here in 2020, I crawled a long ways across my pasture and would have preferred to not do that. Mm-hmm. But the grass is, you know, 24 inches tall. Yeah. I can't duck walk less than 24 inches. So I'm always going to prefer to be hidden. But, like, the fastest mode of transportation that you can pick within being hidden, that's mm-hmm. how I am too. Like when Eric and I stalked that buck in Kansas this year, like, we walked almost the whole way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We walked to, like, probably 110 yards from that buck and then mm-hmm. basically crawled and, you know, crawled the 60 yards or whatever, mm-hmm. the last 60.
Eric and I did some belly crawling out there trying to kill the big buck that we were chasing to no avail.
Yeah.
Crawled up to a tree and just sat there all evening. I didn't see anything. Mm. And that makes you wonder, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. Stalking's weird, but fun.
It is.
So back to the turkey stuff. Mitchell says, hey, two of y'all get down there. I'm going to call from right here and we're going to kill this bird, pretty much. So there's, like, this big old mound of dirt. Tennessee's covered in, like, really old logging roads. It's not like logging roads like you'd think of in, like, the West where they're still active with Jeeps or whatever. It's just like these old things that are cut into the hills that nobody uses anymore, but there's still, like, a trail there. And I think that mound of dirt was kind of like a furrow or something that was thrown up by that one of those logging roads. But I point to that with Mitchell, and I say, hey, what if I just go, you know, lay down right there and kind of Elmer Fudd this thing just right over that dirt? He's like, yeah, that's a good idea. So I go down there. You're right behind me with the camera, and we're, like, sitting up thinking that this turkey's going to come in pretty soon, right?
Dude, I mean, I'm rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as we're crawling, I'm rolling. I'm like, which I'm getting a little bit of, like, here's the story, too. Mm-hmm. But, like,
we were butt sliding down the hill right there to get to that. It's steep, steep.
Yeah. And I was feeling like, I was like, man, we could be getting seen right mm-hmm. now. Like, there was pockets where we, you know, definitely could have been getting seen. So I did not expect what happened.
Mm-hmm. I get down and I'm, like, trying to get prone. And I've got that – I'm doing that thing where, like, you got your gun kind of across your chest at an angle, but I'm fixing to, like, get it out and just be on my elbows ready to shoot. And I hear Mitchell say a phrase that I just could not register because it was so inappropriate at the time. Not inappropriate because he said a bad word, but inappropriate because it did not make sense as to what would be happening. As I'm laying down, Mitchell says, stand up and shoot him. And you realized, right?
He said it twice, I believe.
Yeah, and you realized, and I had no idea what was going on.
Casey didn't move one inch, so I was like, I maybe didn't hear him. And so I said, the first thing I think I said was, stand up and shoot him. And then I was like, or stand up or something like that. And then I was like, that didn't make sense. So I was like, he said stand up and shoot him or something like that. And that's when it kind of registered, I think.
I popped up as fast as I could, looked down the hill.
It was fast, too.
And
it was like a power cleaning man.
Wow. There was a turkey 10 yards from us.
Dude, it was so close.
Ridiculous. And what's weird is that, like, straight line, he's 10 yards probably. But he's down the hill a good 20 feet maybe. He's not far from us, but much further than what 10 yards would seem because it's so steep. And I pop up, and Mitchell you know, afterwards said he saw this turkey strutting right there while we were crawling
down.
That's
when he told us to stand up, shoot him.
That's right. And so, like, when I stand up, he's looking white-headed at me. And then, like, he goes to, like, kind of run to the left. And I throw my gun up, and I'm thinking, man, it's not a great shot. And I'm hoping that, like, he's going to take off downhill, and I'm going to be able to put a bead on him, you know, and, like, within a second get a shot at, like, 30 or whatever. Well, the turkey decides to fly off. And I don't know if y'all have seen turkeys fly up from the ground, but it ain't the most graceful or smooth or fast thing. And that was what led to his demise, because he flew up and got just pretty much about 90 degrees out from me, and it was Smoketown, Tennessee right there. It was done for. Dude, rolled this turkey.
Folded him up, dude. I mean, like a duck, dude. Yeah. It was crazy.
He did
this
thing, too, where, like, he flew up, and he probably could have gone faster, but he got kind of, like, caught in some limbs, so he kind of hovered for just a second, and that's when I ended up shooting, and it was, I mean, it was too easy.
It just, like, I had this, like, vision of my in my head of him looking just like a pintail that's taken off the water, and you just blasting him, like, basically right below the neck. And I was like, it just folded him, dude. It was insane. We got so hyped, dude.
Could you see it happening?
Dude, my angle was insane. So, like I said, when I handed the camera off to Tyler, we're kind of on this hill, like, in front, behind this tree, and Tyler and KC start crawling down the hill. So, when they crawl down, I can't see you guys. And I heard Mitchell yell, stand up, he's right there, shoot. So I can see Mitchell and hear him say that, but I can't see you guys. But then all of a sudden I see a turkey fly up into the sky, and it just gets like a couple feet in the air, and then just drops back.
Dude, it was so awesome, dude, man.
He was, and it's the thing that you talk about with turkey hunting all the time with shotguns. It's like, when it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
And it's so cool because it's just lose your mind time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And Mitchell was going wild. He was crazy, dude. It was fun, man. It was super.
He's a good hype man.
He is, dude. He is.
He about tackled you.
Oh, dude. The footage is awesome. Like, I don't know when this podcast is going to release in relation to the video, but if the video's out, or if you're listening to this, you should go check out the video.
You know what you could do is subscribe to our channel, and then you'll know when the video comes out if you hit the bell for notifications.
That's right.
You know, that's probably right. Be ideal.
Yeah, that would be ideal. So you'll know by this point if you've watched it. If you subscribe, you'll know if it's out or not.
Yeah.
And it is just, the footage is cool because, like, when I get the camera and we start crawling down the hill, I start rolling, and it's just like one long clip, and it's like 45 seconds of, like, crawl down the hill, and then just the best hype ever, dude.
Wild.
It's awesome.
It was cool. And it was a big bird too, man. It's my first Eastern ever, and, like, after seeing them, like, I realized they are a lot bigger than Rio's. Their fans are a lot bigger, like a whole bunch. I couldn't believe it. That one, the bird that got run off by the four, whenever he went to full strut, I, like, was like, oh. Also, I was, like, breathing so hard when that happened. Because the one that I shot was, like, didn't have time to get excited, right? But, like, that first one, I was like,
dude, I had to
calm myself down. But that was fun, man. That turkey has a huge beard. I haven't measured it yet, but Mitchell thinks it's over 11 inches long. Probably, like, 1.5 spurs, just a big, big old tom. And then, like, while we were calling that bird, we heard another one light up. Mitchell needs to leave, like, right now, and he's like, let's go get the other bird. I can't leave goblin turkeys. And then we start trying to chase you a turkey.
Yep.
But what happens?
Vortex, as in tornado. Not as in the binos that I've broken, destroyed, and aren't very clear.
Yeah. But we actually, like, so we're hunting on a piece of permission to Chad's, and these turkeys are on a different property. And we're sitting there calling. I'm sitting way back because you can only shoot one turkey a day in Tennessee. I'm like short timing, you know. I'm just chilling, got a camera just in case, you know, just listening to what's happening. And then I see everybody jump up. I'm like, what's going on? And Chad's like, I just got permission to go on that property. He'd been texting the guy.
Called him.
Yeah, he called him?
Yeah, he's just talking to him.
They talked on the phone sitting right there?
Yeah, he talked to him, got permission. He's like, if you ever need anything, just holler at me. All right, bye. And we popped up and took off.
So we got mish, and then we start chasing turkeys, and then the weather just didn't cooperate.
Yeah, we had front I mean, it's just kind of bad weather in the first part of that trip and
second part of the trip too.
Yeah, just really, we didn't have great weather.
I think that's was a turkey season thing.
Was that the day they canceled school? Right.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. We went and they make some food. The first food I'd eaten in 20 hours, pretty much.
Hungry boys.
And we ate. What was that called?
It was
chorizo con.
Oh yeah.
Or pollo con chorizo.
Something like that. I mean, that's what it was. I don't remember what it was called, but that.
I think it was called pollo con chorizo. And it had like, but they didn't mention anything about the queso and that was in it or anything. Like it was like, it had like all kinds of cheesy stuff
in
it.
It was kind of like a junk food.
It
Mexican
was a junk food and it was so good.
It was good.
Oh my goodness, dude. Just salty and greasy.
What's funny is we like ate supper like 3 hours after that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't near as good as that, but that's okay. so that kind of ended the day pretty much, just Mexican food and sweet tea, which is pretty good way to end the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And cleaned a bird, and then got up the next day. Mitchell's gone, and we went hunting again. And
yeah,
did we? We didn't. We had a hard time getting on birds that whole day.
Yeah, I just the rest of the. I mean, we had that. We did find a strutter that morning. There was the last couple of days were tough. We ended up hunting a lot of. We hunted kind of back in the same spot for like midday and afternoon stuff that we had killed your bird, that area. And we just were not getting birds to light up. We couldn't hear, you know, any gobbles really.
It's kind of windy.
Late morning, we went to a spot that Chad said we should have been hunting earlier in the hunt, but we did find a strutter and some jakes and stuff. And then we ended up kind of back and forth between that spot and the spot you killed for the next couple of days. And it just didn't pan out. So
yeah, we hunted the last morning. Felt really good about it. Just had turkeys fly the other direction, and that was that.
I think they might have seen us.
Maybe.
And I feel like that's why they went the other direction.
Hens are a problem, man.
Yeah.
That's the big problem with turkeys.
Yeah.
The hens do what they want to, and the gobblers follow them.
It's kind of like does.
That's it.
Does.
I still think that fawn bleat thing would work, man.
For a turkey?
No, for deer hunting. I think that if you had a buck that was hard on a doe... You do a fawn bleat, and that doe's going to come over and check it out.
See, are you a fan of the cam then?
No.
Cam fan, bro?
I'm not. Fan of the cam, though. Cam Haynes is the man.
I feel like that thing can't be loud enough, right?
Such a big fan, aren't you?
Yeah, big one. Bigger than him, for sure.
It's relative, right?
But yeah, that's turkey hunting, man. Dadgummit, it's fun.
That's it, man.
I'm ready to go back and do that some more.
We're going to.
Yeah, we are.
Illinois, right?
I think. Whatever that state is.
Starts with an I.
Actually just got a call from our buddy Adam Keith.
Oh, please.
While we're on this podcast. And we might stop and hang out with him for a little bit and do a little turkey hunting.
Can we do that with, like, camo brand that he wears?
Yeah, it'd be all right. It'd be fine.
We'll have to offer him.
Yeah, that's right. We'll offer him some of the good stuff. No, it's fun. I hope y'all are getting out and getting after the turkeys and doing a lot of fun stuff like that, too, because, I don't know, we talk about this a lot, but where we live, there just aren't any turkeys, so I didn't grow up, like, with any turkey culture. Any turkey hunting I did, we drove a long way and go do, and it was kind of like... I don't know, a crapshoot on if it would work or not, you know. So, like, it's cool to go somewhere where it's, like, a thing. Will you, like, show up in camo? We went to this cool diner. It's, like, 50-style diner, right? And there are people in there from probably 5 a.m. until 2 p.m. solid, like, just no breaks. And, like, you show up in camo, and they're like, did you get any birds this morning? Do you hear any gobbles? It's like people just know. Even people that don't turkey hunt, they're just interested in it. It was kind of cool. Did you notice that too?
Yeah. My favorite thing was that last day when that waitress said.
I have this thing where I like to make people uncomfortable. So our waitress was one of our waitresses. She was very proper in the way she talked and didn't fit in too much with all the rest of us. So although we speak a different dialect, we speak the same language as the Tennesseans. She, however, spoke an unknown dialect, and I was like, are you from somewhere else, or do you just speak really proper? And she just kind of giggles, like embarrassed girls do, and then some guy from, like, the back of the restaurant just goes, she's a Yankee!
The whole place starts laughing.
The whole place starts laughing.
And then all of a sudden the Cheers theme song came on. Sometimes you gotta know
everybody knows you're Yank. But... It was funny, man. It's just a cool spot. I'm looking forward to doing more of that, man. So what else do we have going on? Anything?
No.
No? Mm-mm. Nothing, man. Just trying to shoot pigs. Shoot some bows. We got some new bows. One of these days we'll tell y'all about that. But I don't know. Just enjoying the good weather, really. I mean, it's kind of windy and weird, but it's a nice time of the year. So Easter weekend's coming up, guys, and remember, that's not about rabbits and eggs or anything else, Pagan. It's about the resurrection of Jesus. And if you want to know now, more about that.
Were you addressing everybody as pagans, or were you addressing the fact that those are pagan?
Those are pagan things, for sure. Yeah, not everybody's a pagan.
It's now, not about all those things, Pagan.
We're actually phasing out the Easter egg hunt at church.
How about
me and Cassie are doing that. We're going to see how that goes this Sunday.
Good.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it absolutely takes away from the actual celebration of Jesus' resurrection.
Y'all hunt Easter eggs at church?
Well, like, not during service, but like that Sunday morning during class.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's always been the thing. So yeah, we're not doing that.
Good for y'all.
Thanks, man. I'm done with that. We're actually going to do, I don't know, we might hide the cupcakes. I don't know, just kind of give kids something fun to do. But like, we're going to make some cupcakes with some open tombs on top.
There
I think
you go.
It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should just put no icing on them.
Why is that?
Just because take all the fun away, man.
No, dude, the tomb's going to be cool. We're, what did Cassie say? We're going to cut something in half and make a tomb, and then the stone is going to be like a cookie rolled away. Yeah, buddy.
Sounds like a good way to get some kids hype.
Hype for service, bro. Yeah. That's how it
we'll
is.
We're throwing their hands up.
Yeah, it's going to be good, for sure. Probably yeah. Show. I'm throwing up their cupcakes, most likely. Dude, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You probably know this, but like, a kid eating so much sugar they throw up is just a weird thing to me. Have you seen it happen?
I don't know, Jet. Just sometimes eats so much that he throws up.
Yeah.
Which is also weird to me.
That is weird, too. I don't know. That's what a way to celebrate Easter, guys. But anyways, if nothing else, remember to spend some time with your family. Talk to them about Jesus a little bit if you get the opportunity. And remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right, join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Camp Fire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.